I'm going to just sort of talk just a little bit about what we ended up with our last meeting. And we were talking about living from the mind. And as Dana and I were sharing earlier, sometimes that can mean different things. But we don't, when you think about it, we've always thought we are our thoughts and our bodies. Everything that we think about ourselves has created this character. It's been hard for us to see beyond that description in our lives because that's all we've ever known. And now as we're coming to realizing what we are today, we're coming to find out, as Bruce says all the time, the person that you think you are is really your enemy. And why is he your enemy? Well, it's because it's not real. You're not a thought. You're not a body. And we're really, really, we're not even eternal, because eternity had a beginning. So if we're living in the moment where there's no time and no space, which this mind can't comprehend that, if we're living in the moment, which is all there is the moment, there isn't a beginning and an end. And out of that flows all the issues of life. That's where life flows. So we've got to learn to love what is, because that's the only experience we're ever going to have. You didn't exist one thought. You didn't exist before the thought that you're here right now. You're here now. You didn't exist before that, just in your mind, just in your memory. And those kinds of concepts, they seem like they're way out there, you know, and beyond reach. Well, that's because the mind is never going to comprehend this. And the mind is not your friend. And so this week, I'm going to share with you some things that I've personally experienced that have really helped me in the last couple months, going through some difficulties that were new to me. And that means they were hard. It wasn't easy. And it was things that came up that I've never experienced before. And I don't want people to get alarmed about things or what's going on, but I went into the dentist office and everybody knows I smoke cigars, or did. Sorry, Gary. I am going to try to have one with you, though, Sunday. But I was in the dentist. I like to go in and get my teeth cleaned all the time, and they said, hey, there's this spot in your mouth. There's this thing in your mouth. They said, wow, we're concerned about this. Well, I didn't know what it was. They got a mirror up there and they showed it to me. And of course, here I am puffing two or three cigars a day, you know, into my upper chest and my mouth all the time. And then this guy says, hey, there's this spot in your mouth. Well, I didn't think too much about it at the time. But as the days went on and my throat started to tighten up, and my chest started to get a little bit sore, and this thought started to magnify itself in my mind, and I started to get very concerned. And as the symptoms increased, I got really concerned. And matter of fact, I panicked a little bit about it. And I haven't, with all the things that's been going on the last few years, there hasn't been a whole lot that's caused me to panic, because like my panic button has like been on full on for a couple years with a lot of the things that's been going on. So I'm sort of used to it. It's been on so much I haven't even known what it is to not have it on. So it sort of disappeared, I guess is what I'm saying. But anyways, as I went through this stuff, I began to be taught that I've been teaching I'm not a body and not a mind, But I began to experience it. I began to experience what it meant to not be a body and a mind. And I want to share with you how I came out of that. And I've been amazed that some of the things I'm going to share with you this weekend are new. And I love that. I mean, we don't want to get up here and share the same thing. It's nice when it's new and fresh. And so I'm going to share with you what took place, not so much in a dialogue, but just the truth around this. And the thing that really stuck with me is I've talked about Robert Adams occasionally, and I don't know if any of you have ever listened to any of his stuff, but I've been talking about him for a while, so I think hopefully some of you picked up on that and went in. And he always taught on two levels. He had came to a place in his life where he believed and knew absolute truth, where he was living in a life that was spontaneous all the time. He came into that realization, but he was able to breed and be with the people he was with and teach to them at their level to help them bring them into that place. And I've never ever heard anyone or seen anyone that was able to do that like he did. And so non-duality teachers are great, and you say all these wonderful absolute truths, but it just sort of freezes your mind up. You just, a lot of times, you just don't know where to go. You don't know what to do with it, because there is nowhere to go. It just sort of leaves you lost a little bit. And sometimes it feels empty even. And so, is there a practical way? Are there practical truths that we can use alongside of these beautiful absolute truths that can help us? And the answer is absolutely. And but when, if nothing's out of order, what does that do to you? It sort of just freezes you. Huh? It's just like, okay, well, nothing's out of order. And you're almost like, well, nothing's out of order. The mind almost says, well, I don't want to do anything that's out of order, so I better just sit here, you know? But the whole point in that is that you can't. The mind is never going to believe that there's nothing's out of order. The mind's never going to believe that there are no mistakes. Well, guess who kept saying that over and over again? Robert Adams. Mm-hmm. He would get up and start his meetings. You've heard him say it. There are no mistakes. There never has been any mistakes, and there never will be any mistakes. Now, if that doesn't deliver you, if that doesn't free you from everything you've ever thought in your mind and bring you some level of peace, then it's because we've still got some kind of judgment going on in our minds. But it's supposed to free you from that. There are no mistakes, really. That is beyond belief, and we can't believe it. It's got to be something that begins to come up within you and that you realize. And if we're going to see it for ourselves, we can't say, I'm going to see it for myself and not see it for the world or for our neighbors. And those are the things that when I look out and I look on Facebook and stuff, it puzzles me because of what I see people talking about that are in our circles. And I think, well, do they really understand that nothing's out of order? And we get so attached to this world that it just becomes hard, but there are no mistakes. There is no you. There is no God. Well, when you say there's no God, what does that mean? Exactly. It means you are uncreated. It means you never had a beginning and you'll never have an end. Well, we've always thought eternal life was something that was screwed on to our version of whatever we've thought, Christianity or whatever it's been. It's always been something that's screwed on to what we know as our life. And that's never been true. And we know, we've felt, we've experienced the fact that there is no such thing as passing time. And if you didn't agree with that at some level, you probably wouldn't be here. Because that's another just mind-boggler, that there's no such thing as passing time. Well, it's even proven in literal textbooks. They've seen it in science. Einstein saw it. Everything's connected. There's no distinction between the past, the present, and the future. I love the way that feels inside me, but I don't know what to do with it. That's the issue. But I love how it feels. I love what it does to me, but I'm not sure who it is that it's doing something to. And that's where the confusion can come in, and where we can use some help. And so it's, this truth is great, but it, the other thing I found in my experience, especially with some people that have been listening, is that sometimes this stuff can make us sort of intellectually arrogant. And I just, or we're just correcting people most of the time. And what it does is it leaves us further suffering. It leaves us further anxious. And I'm calling the naming of the lesson, you know, overdone truth. There's absolute truth isn't changing. I'm not changing my mind about absolute truth. But, I mean, how many times can you say it over and over? It just gets overdone. It gets well baked, and it becomes something where, oh, well, that's not right, and that's not right. You can't say that, and you can't say this. And I've started to see that with a couple friends of mine. It got so bad that the friendships had to end. It got so bad that there was just criticism after criticism. Anytime you said something, well, there's no you. There's no you. There's no you. I mean, I wanted to get out my shotgun and shoot him, you know. It was like a canary. I know that. But here we are. Are we here? Hello? Here we are. We're here. Something's here. Now, I think the more accurate truth is we don't own what's here. We don't control what's here. But we're here. And I'm liking it. I'm enjoying it. And I'm not saying people have to go through suffering at all. Matter of fact, I'm going to be sharing with you, I hope, are you all going to be here tomorrow afternoon? Yes. Everybody coming? You need to be here tomorrow afternoon. I don't know what Dana and, you want to be here in the morning too, because we got Dana and Gary. But tomorrow afternoon, I'm going to run through an exercise with you that I tried it with Diane before we came. And I don't think you'll ever forget it. It's that good. And it's what's calmed me down. It's given me some tools. Okay, there's no you, there's no me, but it's given me some tools anyway. And I don't understand it, but it still is. Okay? I don't have to understand it. It's working anyway. So I'm shooting the canary that keeps saying, there's no me, there's no you, I shot him. We got it, it's written down. I wrote it down 100 times on a chalkboard, leave me alone. So what does absolute truth do for us? You know, that's the big question, right? Well, it's certainly a guidepost to this lighthouse, right? We get to the lighthouse, but we're still surrounded by fog. And I don't want to feel empty and lost with just absolute truth, which is things written up there that just don't seem practical anymore. And I've just found, I think, once these things settle down into you, you realize then you've got to go back and find those that you love and bring them with you. And that's what I'm feeling, is to reach back where they are and hold their hands and help them. One, not suffer anymore. How would you like to never suffer again? Ever again? Ever, okay. Some of you don't. You want to suffer some more? You just don't like to raise your hands? That's okay. It's not a classroom. How would you like to never be stressed out again? Huh? No stress. I'm telling you, that this is working for me. It's catching me in the middle of what's going on and teaching me to investigate. And that's been a really key word for me, is just to investigate what's going on. And it's been beautiful. And all I got to say is, if you could walk with me on what I've been through the last couple months, all I can tell you is my mind has slowed down so much. Its busyness has calmed down 60-70% because I've sort of got him figured out. He can't fool me like he used to. And amazingly, he's just sort of given up. Now, who is this mysterious he that's a mind, you know? Well, I don't know, but he sure is noisy. He talks a lot. So, it's absolute truth. It's this lighthouse. We get empty a lot. Well, your sister wrote me. I wrote a beautiful thing on Facebook, and everybody's going, yeah. And she wrote, she says, you know, I really love this too, but I need help. She said to me, well, that's exactly what I'm talking about. She said, I need help. Well, what's the problem right there? What are we finding out? That she's hearing it, she likes it, she loves it, she wants it. But so what's the fog? It's a confused mind. It's just a confused mind. And this is the issue that we're dealing with, is we have a confused mind. One, we're trying to analyze these huge, vast truths that you can't understand with the mind. That can wear you out a little bit right there. So how do we expose this confused mind and help it not be confused anymore? And that's the thing I want to share with you, and it's just beautiful. So I want to read my favorite guy, Nisargadatta Maharaji. He talks about this. Surprise. I've read this thing like 100 times, and here it is in there, same thing. So and he gives us the roadmap for this weekend. He says, the one who has fully investigated himself. Now, all you absolute truth mongers, let us use the word himself, okay? It's okay. We're going to use the word himself. The one who has fully investigated himself, the one who has come to understand, will never try to interfere in the play of consciousness. Now, if you were with us last time, that just means you don't have control. Right? That's the most amazing thing. That was one of the things that really set me free when this started, is realizing I don't have control. I was able to rest because there was stuff going on that was sort of out of control. And I sort of wanted to control it. When I found out I didn't have control, I just relaxed and said, well, there's anything I can do about it. So I might as well just take a break. And right away, I began to have more peace about the situation. And in this particular instance, this one person who was somebody who listens to the teachings was threatening me. And I thought, well, I've got no control. So whatever they do or don't do doesn't matter. That's how it freed me, because I don't have any control over it anyway. And the whole thing disappeared, and guess what? Nothing ever happened. Not a peep. Pretty amazing. So he goes on to say, there's no creator with this vast intellect. All of this play is going on spontaneously. So when you say there's no creator, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on that this weekend, if all there is spontaneous life, everything is new every second. See? So somebody didn't create something and stick it like a piece of Play-Doh somewhere and just let it wander around and swallow around on its own. And then say, pray to me and maybe I'll help you now and then. Okay? Out of spontaneous life is everything, every moment. It's not something that was created or is created. That's the whole point of it. Does that make sense? It's just always moving. It's a movement. It's flowing all the time. It never had a beginning or end. This is what is. This is life. And he says, there's no intellect behind this. So don't try to impose yours to bring change. Leave it alone. Your intellect is just a subsequent byproduct of this process. Mm-hmm. Now, here he says it again. Investigate yourself. This is the purpose of your being. Now, that sort of sounds like we're backpedaling a little bit, but I found out we aren't. And that's what I want to share with you. Investigate who? I thought there was no you. Well, who's doing the investigating then? Life? Life is teaching itself what it is. This life that's expressing itself through you wants you to experience it with your five senses. Not leave you behind. Not leave you helpless without joy and without peace. And I can tell you this is, it's so wonderful. I've never experienced such a quiet mind as I have in the last month. Just calm down and relaxed. And I'm going, wow, it's like quiet. It's like really quiet. I mean up here. I don't mean out here. Yeah. I mean it's like quiet up here. Yeah. This thing isn't buzzing and running all over the place and judging this. And, you know, before it was like, well, take no thought. Well, geez, that hurts. To take no thought. How do you do that? Not sure you can take no thought. I don't think Jesus quite gave us all of it. Take no thought. So here, we're going to talk about examining, investigating yourself. Now, investigating yourself means we're going to be questioning this confused mind. We're going to be challenging it. Because we've taken most of what it's thought and done, hook, line, and sinker, our whole lives. We've been programmed, since we were this big, how to think, what to believe, what to do. And all this conditioning, all these belief systems, these concepts we've had all our lives are just embedded in, and we just take them for granted. We think they're all true. We think they're all right. And, man, if I've got a vote on all the concepts I've had, I'm not sure any of them have made it. Everything I've ever thought in my life has been turned inside out from when I was in Christianity till today. Everything. It's been alarming, but also relaxing. I mean, the things we share, the things we're understanding today, obviously aren't the mainstream. And I think there's more and more people understanding it. But he goes on to say, spirituality is nothing more than understanding this play of consciousness. So we're to try to find out what this fraud is by seeking its source. Now, if you stand there with me, you'll see what this is. Find out what the fraud is by seeking its source. Well, what's the fraud? The confused mind is the fraud. Not the mind. The mind alone isn't anything. So the mind isn't the problem. It's a confused mind that's a problem. And so we're going to expose this confused mind, see how it's working, and why it causes suffering and stress in your life. So, there are many confused mind. You got that? Write that down. Tattoo it that on your arm. We're going to go after that sucker. Okay? We're going to hunt him down and reveal, expose him. Now, there's some complications with that that I hope all of us have come along far enough to be open and humble about that we've got a confused mind. we're running around and thinks our mind's never been confused. And I've got to tell you, I've got a couple friends that think they're just hunky-dory, you know, and they just take all this so personal, they can't be honest with themselves. It's sad. Be honest and realize that if you're ever worrying, if you're ever stressful, if you're ever confused, if you're ever suffering, it can only come from one place, from the confused mind. That's it. That's all. Wow. You mean we've narrowed down all of this mess to this one little thing? This one little statement? Yes, I'm saying we have. This whole thing down to the fact that if you've got stress or suffering in your life, it comes from a confused mind. Now, if we stopped right now and we all went home and you kept saying that to yourself, you would teach yourself how to deal with this right now. We could just stop for the weekend right now. If you heard this and you went out with this and just said, wow, I got a confused mind. What's that about? Ask yourself. What's that about? Where am I worrying? Where am I stressful? Where am I fearful in my life? I had a person tell me how evil I was a couple months ago. Gary's had a few people tell him how evil I am. I didn't argue with them. But they were telling me I was evil because I didn't agree with their judgment of the world. Because I wouldn't join their party of calling out this activity that they said was evil. And I didn't say it wasn't evil. I just didn't say anything. If you don't join our side, it means you're evil. Probably a lot of you know these people, which is another thing that was a little shocking. I mean, they come after me, a couple of them. But when we're in this mode, we don't understand that the world is our rendition of how we judge the appearances. It's our rendition. Do you think you can actually watch, like a god, every activity that's going on in the world and say you agree with it or don't agree with it? Do you want that burden of all of it? Huh? Well, guess what? You don't need to worry about any of it, because it's none of our business what goes on outside of this room tonight. Okay? I'm telling you. When you start to believe that, you'll start to experience some sense of freedom and peace. It is not our business what somebody else's world is. Everybody's world's different. What's your world look like? And these two people were sharing with me their world. And they said this was evil. Well, guess what? They've got evil in their world. They do. And they are the ones suffering for it. I'm not going to suffer for it. Now, if something is right in front of me and it's in my home and it's touching me, that's different. That's different. But I had one guy used to come up to me all the time. He'd always give me the world news report after the meetings, you know, because he said, I'd say nothing's out of order. What did you see? What happened over here? And I said, listen, I don't care what's happening over there. If you're so concerned about it, get in a plane and take your rifle over there and knock off some Muslims. So he was whining about how the Muslims are killing Christians. I said, well, run over there and do something about it. I said, I can't. So if I can't, I'm not going to think about it. I'm not taking that into myself. It's not my business. People create their own worlds. It's in this world of appearances, which is an illusion, okay? It's their responsibility in their world, okay? It's not mine. Your world in the apparent reality is your responsibility. Now, I never use that word responsibility, because in the absolute kingdom there is no such word. But in your world, in your mind, you're responsible. Okay? You are. You're creating it. You manage it. Don't make it mine. And if you read these guys, if you read I Am That, if you read Ramana, I got something I'm going to share with you tomorrow. I'm going to read it now. It's up on the wall over there. Here's something that's mind-blowing. It says, In truth, the ego has no free will because there's no ego. But on the level of apparent reality now, apparent reality, right? The appearances, the ego consists of free will. It is the illusion of free will that creates the illusion of the ego. Do you see how that twists your mind in knots?
Oh, yeah.
Huh? But see, it's the apparent reality, which is a picture you're making of out of your world that you're responsible for. You just got to remember that's an illusion. And if you want an illusion that makes you fearful and worry and responsible for, have at it. But I'm tired of it. I haven't been successful anyway. I've never been successful at being responsible. You can ask my mother. I always got an F in the class Responsibility 101. I never was good. So I sort of gave up on all that stuff. It's hard. I know it's hard to take. Because, geez, there's a lot going on out there, guys. We can't say there's no responsibility. Because look at what's going on out here. It's like the Allstate commercial, you know, Mayhem's had twins.
Mayhem.
And you're evil if you don't call it all out, you know. And I'm not saying that this stuff is good, that these people had concerns about. I'm just saying it's not in my world. It's none of my business. I want to live in peace and joy every day and have this comfort that comes with understanding reality, true reality. And when I go places, I was out at this place for a week, and everybody just was attracted to me out there. Everyone. It was amazing. Because the truth and the peace that's in my life is like a beacon. I didn't have to say a word. People come up and say, well, why are you so happy? Because we were in, well, Diane and I got Lyme's disease, okay? A couple years ago, all right? And so it's not fun, okay? And I was out at a clinic where we were talking about this. And I haven't really announced this, just a couple people know, but I just want to explain to you some of the issues that's been going on surrounding that disease, which no one can help in the regular clinical world, all right? But anyway, we're doing pretty well, by the way. But anyways, we're out there. There's all these people suffering and carrying on. And I'm going around telling jokes, having a good time, and they're all thinking I'm nuts. Because everybody's suffering but me. And everybody was lifted up because I was there. And I was talking to them like I was their friends. I wasn't there worried about me. I wasn't there thinking, woe is me. You know, I've got to get healed. Sure, I'd like to get better. Sure, I'd like to get some help, but that wasn't my goal. And here's all these people barely, you know, some of them so crippled they couldn't walk down to the bathroom, that were starting to skip around a little bit by the end of the week, because we were all sitting around each other, enjoying each other and lifting each other up. Just the countenance itself was doing that. And it was just beautiful. It was so beautiful. I met some friends now that'll be friends for life. They just said, what's going on with you, Mike? You know, and I couldn't say there's no such thing, that there's nothing's out of order and, you know, you've never made a mistake. They don't understand any of that stuff. I didn't say any of that stuff. I just loved them. I was just friends with them. Just encouraging them. That's what unconditional love does. It isn't. We have to try to be kind. It's why be unkind?
Yeah.
Right? Why would I want to be unkind to anyone? And this unconditional love that is your life doesn't want to be unkind. It wants to help people, no matter where they're at. And that's what this, if I can help you so you don't suffer anymore, if I can help you so you're not stressed anymore, if I can help you so you're more at peace and relaxed, wouldn't I be your friend? Huh? That's a pretty good friend, isn't it? Well, that's what I want to do. One of the first steps is being honest with yourself. It's one of the first steps. Now, here's an example of overdone truth, okay? Every word of what I'm going to read you is true, but it's overdone. I call it the overdone I. I cannot do anything because there is no I. How could an illusion, that which is not, stop an illusion? How could an I stop an I? There is no I, ego. There is no illusion. I never was. Illusion never was. There never was a me. Now, if you're struggling, you want to go get your pistol and put yourself out of your misery. If you really need help, should I read this to Johanna and tell her to go away? Huh? Is that what I should do? Does anybody here think I should do that? Should I just say, read this to her and say, shut up? Huh? No, I'm serious now. That's sort of what overdone truth does. Overdone truth, absolute truth, is great for you. But your neighbor might not be ready. Well, who's your neighbor? Everybody. So this is what I mean about what Robert did. When I was in that clinic, I met them where they were at. I didn't preach to them. I didn't tell them what the business was. I didn't say, you know, quit your whining, there's no mistakes. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't do it. That's rude. Yeah. I can't say I've never not been rude with absolute truth, because when it first comes to you, you sort of get arrogant. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm serious. You get a little bit arrogant. Well, I've learned this. Bless God, what's wrong with you? I don't know why I brought God into it right there, but just habit, I guess. You follow me? Does that make any sense at all? How can we bring this confused mind home to reality, back into the right mind? You remember the parable of the insane man in the tombs in the Gospels? He was so tormented by what? All of his thoughts. Cutting himself in a cave day after day from the torment of his thoughts. That's us. That's what we do. If we're honest, can we be honest about that? You don't need to raise your hand. You don't need to tell me. We're not going to have an altar call. If you're honest with yourself, do you suffer with that? Because if you're honest, you'll say yes. I'm raising my hand. It's been really rough the last couple of months in this new venture that I've been on, that life's taken me on. It's been rough. It's really challenged this, and this is sort of the byproduct of it. So there's a world we can create, but it's always a world of right and wrong. If you're looking out on the world and you've got a commentary, there's always something right or wrong about it. That is the illusion. Mm-hmm. Okay? It's not what's out here that's the illusion. We don't go around and curse the fig tree, say the robin should be more red. I used to believe that stuff. The grass should be more green. The trees are a little dingy gray, you know. They should be bright gray. Well, there was that one movie, Robin Williams was in it. Remember where it was all, what was the name of it? All the colors. Huh?
What dreams
make. Yeah, everything was like super LED, you know, like the reds were like 20 times red. And, you know, I think, well, there it is. There it is right there's heaven. You know, I could see it, you know, just because it's more red. in this world that we create in our mind, remember now, we're still talking about this place we've created in our mind. In this world we've created with our mind, it appears that we have power. But it's only the power to judge the fear of the appearances. That which is presented to us. Anytime you present something to evaluate to our mind, it's automatically going to judge it right or wrong. Automatically. You don't have to think about this. Okay? Bingo, write this down. Your mind is programmed to judge right or wrong automatically. It isn't your fault. Do you hear me? It's not your fault. That's what it does. All on its own. Now, that's going to begin to change. That's what I've been feeling. That's what's been changing in my life, is my mind has begun to calm down. It's realizing it's been found out. I've seen you. I've seen what you're up to. I've got your plan figured out. And guess what? I don't believe you anymore. I'm going to investigate you from now on. Call it the love FBI. It's on the prowl, okay? So this world of right and wrong, only exists in one place. Does anybody want to tell me where this exists, this world of right and wrong?
Your mind.
Right. But it has to exist in the future.
Oh.
Has to exist in the future. Has to be something you're projecting. If there's worry and fear about what you're projecting in your world, it has to be in a future. Why would you be worried or afraid about something if it never could happen? So we're projecting out with our minds that it's going to happen. This fear. That fear is crazy. If you want fear, get a future. It's that simple. If you want to have fear in your life, get a future. So what does that tell you when fear starts to creep into your life? You've left reality and you're out into the future planning your life. And that's why we've said many times that reality, spontaneous life, can't have a plan. You can plan something. I was talking this afternoon with Dana about, you can plan something, but lay it down and just watch it and see if it happens. You don't have to follow like a hound dog. Doesn't mean you aren't going to plan stuff. You're going to do a lot of stuff, but we just don't hang on to it so strong anymore. We don't hang on to it for dear life and try to control it. Just let it have its way. So here I want to just step back a little bit and just try to help. I mean, if I'm stuck and I'm struggling with stuff, I want help. Yeah, I really do. And it takes honesty. You really can't hide from yourself, you know, right? So if you're dishonest and you're all alone, you know. Right? I know there's a lot of yous in there. Forgive me. I got a whole party going on there. Got three or four yous. No wonder it's confusing. There isn't any, and there's three or four showed up right in that one sentence. Dean says it all the time. When you find honesty, you find yourself. You can't hide from yourself. So if we're honest with ourselves, we'll admit that at some level we suffer to some degree every day of our lives at some level. I mean, is life really having things our way all the time? Has we found that that works all the time? It doesn't. No. Have you noticed a plan can hurt sometimes? It judges you if it didn't turn out the way you wanted. I mean, this is what we went through with my business the last 2 years. There is no way I would have wrote that out in any kind of plan at all. And there would be nobody that was involved in it would ever believe that could be a plan. But that's how it happened. It's the craziest thing I've ever heard of in my life. We came out smelling like a rose. 2 years later, totally out of my control. Talk about not having control. It was crazy. We had the people that were involved in helping us go through this transition come in and say, man, they've never seen anything like it. They've never seen anyone go through what we went through and come out of it. No one comes out of that, they said, Mike. No one makes it out. Nobody. Not going to share all the details, but we were 10 minutes from living in the doghouse with the dogs. And boom, it just shifted around and off we went. And I'm just watching it, just like jumping in the train and you're not driving. And we come out of it better than I ever thought we would, because it wasn't my plan. Never planned it. It's amazing to see spontaneous life work. Now, spontaneous life isn't right or wrong, so there isn't a pattern. I'm not saying if you do this, it'll always work. But what I'm saying is if you let go of your plan, it won't judge you. Your plan won't turn around and judge you. So, being honest. What I would say, you know, I've got a couple people in mind that I know that are struggling with this. They're really caught up in this dream of a future and never really learned how to live in the joy of the moment. They think they have. Like they'll say, you know, I'm living the dream, but they're really dreaming. Sorry. I'm living the dream, but they're really dreaming. How do you say that to somebody? How do you tell them? And just find out that they're just defending their ego so strongly that they haven't realized they're defending their enemy. Because the only one creating problems for you is you. It's not coming from outside you. It's all coming from how you process what goes between these two ears. I'm promising you now. And if you struggle with that, if you're struggling with that, you're suffering. And if you don't know you're struggling and you don't know you're suffering, I really feel sorry for you. Okay, I really do. And I've got a couple friends that I really feel sorry for, because I've been trying to speak into that, you know, and help them, and they can't hear me. And it's hard, it hurts, because you want to help people. And I'm even getting in trouble for trying to help, because they feel like I'm attacking them, just because I'm questioning it. Trying to help. It's okay, I can handle it, I'm a big boy. So now, we're going to talk about cooking Brussels sprouts for my friend. Yeah, everybody like Brussels sprouts? So, part of our therapy for this Lyme's thing is we've had to eat all organic, and my wife has always been this crazy good cook when she wants to be, but I can't ever ask her for something. If I get it once and it's really good, I'll never see it again. Sort of that kind of thing. Because she like throws things up in the air and it ends up turning out this way and nobody wrote it down. So it's really good. So we're cooking up this Brussels sprouts dish, you know, and we're braising them in coconut oil and we're putting peppers on them and we're squeezing a little bit of lemon juice on it and putting some spices in it, and it's smelling really good. And I'm not really vegan, you know, but I don't even like Brussels sprouts, but you know, raw. But when we got all done, man, this thing was delicious. And I cooked up this dish. I was actually cooking it with Diane. I was their sous chef. And we were cooking it up, and I decided to do it in honor of Christina Hestwell over in New Zealand. A lot of you might know Christina. She just got married. Her name's now Christina Todd. She should be listening, Christina. Hello. And this gal come out of the blue. Well, if it's all an illusion, why are you so concerned about food? It's all a dream. I'm going, I never said what you're saying. Gary talks about this all the time. You know, about him saying, people thinking he said things and he never even said close to what he said. And I said, you know, I never said this. I never said I was concerned with food. But when the mind is offended, it comes up with every reason to bend reality. And if we're bending and twisting reality, it's going to be really hard for us to enter into this place where we can be free from our suffering and anxiety and stress. Because if we can't be honest with ourselves, we'll never agree that we're the problem. Right? Because the ego is going to defend itself to death. Right? So I'm really hoping that you can get alone somewhere and put yourself in time out and talk to this guy, you know, and say, now listen to me now. We got to start being honest about this stuff, right? Now, where are we at? Christina responded to this person and says, Sharon, it's only our judgment of the appearances that's creating the illusion. Life is living us, and while our true being is not the body as we are experiencing the physical, it's still beneficial to enjoy good health and vitality. Bingo. Okay? We're not saying be irresponsible. Just write down that you failed at the class of responsibility 101 and move on. We're not running around, you know, going to go barefoot in arsenic on the ground or something, or start drinking rat poison. And that's what some people think we're saying, by saying, you know, there's no such thing as responsibility. What I'm saying is you have no energy or no power within you to be responsible. That's what I'm saying. You're going to fail. And when you give up on yourself, you'll start to experience life. You'll start to know what real life is. And you'll give up on this religious mirage that we've been playing with, and some of us are still playing with today. We'll just give up on it, realizing how futile it's been. So the illusion is just thinking we have control. That's the illusion. The illusion is judging what we see is right or wrong. That's the illusion. There's nothing wrong with the pear tree or the palm tree or going to Cabela's or whatever you want to do. There's nothing wrong with that. It isn't like condemned, like the earth is moaning, waiting for its transformation. You're waiting for your own transformation. That's what it's talking about. So when we start to lose control, the mind thinks life is slipping away. But the only thing slipping away is the fact that we have any control. We don't have control. But the ego doesn't like that. The idea we have of ourselves doesn't like the fact that it can't control. But trying to control the world is where all of our problems come from. Trying to control our world is where all of our judgment comes from. And sometimes we need help with that. Sometimes we need help to get out of that fog and to sort of put our finger on those things. You know? And I wrote Johanna, she's a sweetheart. Do you think your sister's a sweetheart?
Yeah.
She is. She's a sweetheart. I said, well, just write me after the meetings, you know, and I'll guarantee you we can sit down. And if she's honest, and I'm not saying she's, now see you, there I go. I'm asking her if she's honest. And she's like, you said I was dishonest. What I'm saying is, if she's honest about it, we'll get somewhere, right? We'll find out what's going on. And I'm telling you, I've seen it in my own life enough. I can smell it a mile away. I know what it looks like. And so we can, it doesn't take long for you to rat on yourself. I'm just telling you. Okay? You can't hide it all. Right? And I know how to hide stuff. You can ask my mom again. I was one of the sneakiest kids there ever were. And I prided myself on never getting caught. So I ended up going to a Baptist church one day and I just confessed it all one night because I was afraid I was going to hell. Isn't that something? If somebody found me out, right? Wasn't anything terrible, but... So... Something I read, and I read a lot, and I listen to a lot. And I can't tell you where I read it. But I'm quoting something, someone. And it just blew up on me. And it said, the fear of death and the fear of life are the same thing.
Think of that.
Huh?
Think of that. Wow.
Isn't that a mouthful? The fear of death and the fear of life are the same thing. We're so afraid in life that we're going to lose something. By what? Being afraid of death.
Yeah.
It makes them the same thing. Hmm? That's something? So a key realization for this weekend, I really want you to understand this because we're going to really dive into it tomorrow afternoon. Any thought that opposes absolute reality is going to feel like stress to you. Any thought that opposes absolute reality is going to feel like stress to you. Okay? You're going to find out. It's going to teach you because now you've been told. Any thought that opposes reality is going to feel like stress. So if we haven't begun to feel this flow of spontaneous life that we've been talking about over the last couple meetings, we're going to live in worry and fear. Now, I had a lot of fear flood into my life for a couple weeks, just 2 months ago. And I haven't experienced very much fear in years. I thought I'd been on the fear train, rode the fear train, got off the fear train. And all of a sudden, a race car come up, marked fear on it, and I jumped on that one too. And that was this one. I'm going to teach you tomorrow how this is a good thing, not something to be avoided. So you don't have to be afraid of it. So here we are, Robert Adams, the guy I've been talking about all night. He wrote this in April 16th, 1952. Guess where he was at? Huh? Yeah, guess where he lived? Anybody know?
New York.
Sedona. Sedona. Right up the road.
It's crazy up there.
Yeah, well, they would have thought he was crazy, okay, for sure. All right? Now, this is what he said. When you live spontaneously, now we're coming back now to absolute truth, right? We're going back and forth. Right now, we're coming back to absolute truth now. When you live spontaneously, time and space do not exist to you. Now, I can give you a good example of that. We've all experienced it when time and space have disappeared. And you know what? You disappear. That's the key. You disappear. That's why how time and space disappears is you disappear. When you live spontaneously, time and space do not exist for you are living fully every second. Every second you exist, you do not exist as anything special. We talk about that all the time. Identity, the ego, must die. Why? Because it's your enemy. And it's all an illusion anyway, so why are we fighting so hard to keep it going? You're not anything special. And when you are, you got a lot to live up to. You do not exist as a man or a woman. You simply exist. And in that spontaneity, you are the universe. No separation. You're not disconnected from anything. But as soon as you break away from it, you become an individual once more. You become a body and a mind, and you see others as bodies and minds. But when you're living in that spontaneity, there is no space and there is no room for anything. You have become absolute freedom. And realize that freedom is not for yourself. For if you know freedom in its absolute sense, it's not freedom anymore. It's who you are. That freedom is not for yourself. There is no one left to know anything when you're living spontaneously because the knower has been transcended. Is that a mouthful? That's absolute reality. But there's a lot of pieces within there that speak to me. I don't have to understand all of it. And Dana and I were sharing this afternoon about some of it, that there's a lot of things she and I understand, and when we're together, we can talk at what we understand, but there's a lot of people that I love and care about that aren't at that place. And it's just like Johanna said, help. She said right at the end in big letters, help. I love this so much, help me. I want to understand. See? I want to understand. But we'll find out where she doesn't understand. Right? So tomorrow, I want to teach you how to live every moment in the full reality of the spontaneous peace and joy. And Nisargadatta Maharaji lays out the groundwork. So we're going to start with using one of his quotes. But we're going to learn how to investigate the work of the serpent mind. Yikes. and come out of the fog of suffering. Now, that doesn't sound nice, does it? The serpent mind? Yikes. Doesn't sound real nice, does it? You don't like that, I know it. Because we aren't disturbed by what happens to us. We're disturbed by our thoughts about what happens to us. Mm-hmm. As soon as we can grasp that right there, our whole outlook's going to change. So the worst thing that can happen out there is what? A thought. That's right. A, you get the star. Karen, thank you. Isn't that something? The worst thing that can happen out there is just a thought. Yeah. Well, hallelujah. We ought to be singing and dancing right now and going around these benches. Yeah. Really? The worst thing that can happen is a thought. But how are you going to ever admit it if you can't be honest with yourself? How are you ever going to find it out? Because you're defending your own thoughts. Because you think they're you. See? That can be a big hurdle. With this friend of mine, I'm pulling my hair out. And I got a little bit of baldness up here, so I don't want to do that. Starting to get a thin area here, you know. I don't want to pull my hair out. Every stressful thought in my head is a rope that thinks it's a snake. Remember that story? People looked down and they saw a snake. Looked down again and saw it was a rope. Moses had the same thing happen to him. He threw his cane down and it became a snake. It was just a cane. People looked down and saw a snake, and when they looked again, it was a rope. Every stressful thought in my head is just a rope that thinks it's a snake. The snake is the mind of the serpent. The serpent, and they talk about this, you can Google this, is the left brain. Okay? The serpent is the left brain, not the right brain. The right brain's fine. It's kept us believing a lie and has weaved us into despair and anxiousness without investigating. That's been our problem, okay? Because we're so hung up on ourselves, we wouldn't dare want to question ourselves because it's ours. We own it, right? The ego's taking ownership. In our Western way of life, we think so much in a linear fashion, right? We look at sacred texts, we'll look at the scripture and think, you know, people really got naked, you know, and maybe they did, but that's not what the story was about. So we believe all we've been got to do is just get rid of the problems, get rid of the problems, get rid of the problems, right? It's a huge mistake. Instead of investigating what's causing the problem. So what's causing the problem, everybody? The thought. The only thing that's creating any problem for you is the thought. The only thing. And so guess what? Those of you who are shaking your head in agreement with me, you're in for a welcome, joyous surprise. I'm telling you. Because you've opened a door and it's going to teach you. Okay? I'm serious. And I'm going to tell you what, it's wonderful. It's so wonderful. Just to get some relief. And I'm talking big time relief now. I'm not talking a little bit. That's why I'm going back a little bit and trying to help us understand what is the cause of all of our suffering and stress in our lives. What is the cause of it? You are the author of your pain. And I'm not talking physical pain here, okay? Although that can affect that, right? All right? We were in a doctor's office Anyways, you're the author of your pain. No one else can do that but you. It's never someone else. That's my point. Okay? The ego wants to blame someone else all the time. Somebody come up and cuss you out upside one down the other and call you every name they want. And if you're in your right mind, it won't affect you. I'm just telling you. If you're in your right mind, it will not affect you. And I've been through it. I've got a brother that's challenged me for years. Years and years and years. And he turned around and he did it again. A couple months ago, again. And it's just like sticking a knife in me in that same wound. Yeah. And I swore in my mind, that's it. I'll never talk to him again. And that statement followed me around and judged me until I let go of it a couple weeks ago. How could he do it for the 77th and 70-hundredth time? I'm telling you now, okay? How could he do that again? How could he? And he did it again. Again. No. Not again. But he never knew that I was upset at him for the 70-hundredth and 77th time because we aren't talking to each other. Mostly because of him, believe me. Because he knows he's out there stirring up trouble, right? So he isn't sneaking around the house very much. But so you're the author of your own pain. No one else can do that. If you understand that, nobody can hurt you if you're investigating and watching your mind. Nobody. So what, another thing that we get to see get hung up on a lot is we keep wanting to change the picture. We keep wanting to rewrite the picture out there on the TV screen all the time instead of accepting what is, loving what is, realizing nothing's out of order, just enjoying what is, loving what is. It's all there is anyway. All there is what is. That is funny, isn't it?
It's true.
Yeah. So, read your Facebook walls. What's on there? I'm not saying anybody specifically here, okay? But just, what are you posting? I mean, we got people that come to our meetings all the time, and I'm looking on their walls, and I'm going, these are tormented people.
Yep.
Are they listening? And that's the thing that's really pushed me to sort of step back and rethink about just this constant barrage of absolute truth all the time, absolute truth all the time. Let's back up a little bit. Let's back the train up. Because there's just a handful of people still on the train. And see if we can pick up a few more people, help them to at least get on and start investigating the problem. Right? And so the problem is we're not looking at the issues because we're defending them. That's the real issue. It's just got to be honest and come out of that, guys. Just raise your hand and say, man, teach me what is I'm defending. Why am I defending something that's tormenting me? Why would I want to do that? Why do you want to kick yourself with the old boot? You know, remember that thing with the string on it, you know, that they had in the old movies? We're just out there jerking on that thing, you know, and then wondered why our ass end hurts, you know. It doesn't need to. We don't need to suffer. You don't need to suffer. You don't need to be stressed ever again. Now that's quite a promise. I can't promise you who's going to win the Super Bowl. But boy, isn't that quite a promise to tell you I can teach you how to never suffer again and how to never be stressed again? I can teach you what that's like, and I can tell you it's working for me? Huh? Wouldn't that be great? Huh? So stay tuned. tomorrow at 2 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. That's 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, everybody out there. So in the morning, we're going to start at 10. At noon, out east, because everybody's barking about, yeah. Tell me, because everybody's used to Eastern Standard Time all the time. Here we do, come out here. So, but we came out here because it's 80 degrees. And it's sunny. Okay? So tomorrow, I promise you, if you're honest, right? So ask yourself, am I being honest? Ask yourself. Just ask yourself. Write it down. Am I being honest with myself here? Or am I defending myself? And what is it? Say, what is it you're defending? Ask, investigate. What is it you're defending? You know? If somebody says something to you and it offends you, what is it offending? Who is it offending? See? Mm-hmm. Who is it? That's a good time to say there's no me. Right? That's when that's appropriate, isn't it? Huh? It's a good time to reuse that one. Yeah. So anyways, we'll see you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. Thank you, everybody.